From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. In some cases, welcome back. Duran Martinez, your host, Alex Clark, producer extraordinaire. In the studios of the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck in Osseo, Michigan. Great stuff, man. Time now to get your Lucky Buck out. We've been talking about this, about Lucky Buck. And right now, with temperatures finally getting up to speed towards spring, as we get towards summer, this is the time to get it into the herd. I mean, it helps all of the deer, and it helps other species of animals as well. But if you want maximum antler growth, now is the time to get your lucky buck out. So, again, it'll help the fawns, too, that are just starting to be visible in some areas. And we're going to talk more with Lucky Buck here very soon, get Dave Wheeler back on the show, talk about the benefits for summertime and how it's not too late yet to get it into your deer. But we are going to talk a little bit of fishing right now. A lot of the seasons, everything is open now. Finally open. Walleye, we're making that shift from the Detroit River to getting ready to make that shift to Saginaw Bay and now Lake Erie. My good friend Chuck Mason joins us. He is a Northland Pro staffer and a good friend of mine. Been on the show many, many times. Chuck, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's always good to have you here. And, you know, again, thanks again for the text yesterday. So you want to talk about Lake Erie? Well, yeah, how about tomorrow? Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, as my producer, Alex, literally took a Bic lighter and ran it under my feet the other day to light a fire under my feet about doing things in the show. You know, Chuck comes through and says, hey, let's talk Lake Erie. Well, let's talk Lake Erie walleye, Chuck. A great fishery for walleye. One of, you know, the two best, one of the top three in the nation, all of them being here in Michigan, of course.
Of course. We won't mention Green Bay.
No, look, I don't know how, and I love my friends in Wisconsin, okay? Oh, yep. But folks, you don't look like a mitten, all right? Maybe for the elephant man, but you don't look like a mitten. That being said, I digress. Let's talk Lake Erie. Now, we
You're
all
in
know.
You're St. Croix, aren't you?
What's that? Oh, no, I'm not trying to get you. You know what? I don't work with St. Croix. I've used their products enough. I love their products, so, and I don't want to get you in trouble right with St. Croix. And you let them know we're talking nice about them, too.
I will.
Looking at Lake Erie, look, we all know that when you make the transition from jigging on the Detroit River, which a lot of walleye anglers do, a lot of people know how to make that transition to planer boards and trolling crawler harnesses or big body hard baits or things of that nature. But there are folks out there that don't know how to make the transition or may not be equipped to make that transition to run planer boards. Please give me some other information how we can find walleye in Lake Erie. And I will tell you about some of the ways we did it in Houghton Lake before I knew anything about walleye fishing.
Well,
but first,
back in the day, I was going to say, back in the day during like the 80s when the heyday for Lake Erie was, and then we had our little downspout, and now it's rebounded so well. The only thing you could really do, I mean, nobody knew much about planer boards back then. Offshore was just taking off. Church tackle was coming up and coming. And everybody had either a golden nugget, which was a little jig with a V-spin on it, or the famous Erie Deary. And everybody drifted those. And you can still drift today, not so much those baits. The Erie Deary is still popular. It's hard to find the old golden nuggets, but it's all about bottom bouncing now if you want to drift. So with the bottom bouncers, you're looking at, and not everybody can just get a boat, or get a nice boat for trolling. So everybody's out there with their little tiller, 16, 17 footer inside the bay, and they're having fun and they're catching fish with bottom bouncers. And you should have a little variety when it comes to the weights for the bottom bouncers themselves. 3/4 of an ounce to about 1.5 ounces is going to be plenty. Sometimes you might have to break out a 2 ounce if the wind's too much. But you're going to take a short harness, 3 to 4 feet in length, and a smaller blade because you're at the mercy of the wind when you drift. So like a Northland number 3 or 4 or some of the custom ones I get from Big Eye, speaking of Green Bay, And one hook or two hooks, well, let's go with two hooks. I'll get to the one hooks in a little bit when we start talking casting. Like I said, the smaller blade because of the wind, two hooks. Not so much a whole crawler. You can cut maybe like a tear an inch or two off behind the second hook. You don't want that fish, especially now when we have the white perch and the silver bass snipping everything off.
Right.
You want to keep everything close to the hook. And you can't really get a spread like you can with a crawler harness, but you can still get about four rods off the back, depending on what kind of holders you're using, or on the side. Two on the back, two on the side, on each side. And, like, my father, I'll be honest with you, he hates trolling.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be the first one to tell you, I'm retired. Trolling is too much like work, you know, and sometimes he's right. I mean, last weekend we had a tournament. We had myself captaining the boat and two other guys in there, and we had nine rods out. And we had the church tackle. We had the sideboards going, the planers. And then we had their new stern planers going off the back. So it looked like we were spire trolling for crappie down south. It looked so funny.
You know, you talk about it being work. Let's take into consideration the amount of gas trolling takes. Whether you're using a tiller or you got a big motor boat,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's expensive at $4 a gallon at the dock plus?
Yeah, my walleye boat is actually an older one. So because of the ethanol, I've got to run premium. So, yeah, it's not inexpensive. I'm pushing $4. And like you said, at the docks, at the boat clubs, if you want the good gas where it doesn't have ethanol, you're looking at $4.50. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's expensive, you know. And when you can, you know, throw a couple of drift socks out just to slow you down a little bit and just kind of vertically jig off the side. See, that's what we did in Houghton Lake. You know, we would go out about dusk, get dark. And this may sound, there are going to be walleye guys and gals out there that are going to want to laugh me off the radio. But you know what? We limited. Every time we did this, we would go out, we'd run a crawler harness, and we're about a foot off the bottom, vertically jigging. Frankly, at that time, I didn't know one thing about walleye, but I know I was catching a lot, and our boat was doing it. And it was very simple. Will that work always? Oh, no. Maybe it was just a great couple of days that we did it. But it was very simple, and it was effective. You know, and I think some people, when they're looking at walleye fishing, or they have friends that go out and, you know, they have these huge spreads, you know, planer boards running off the side and everything else, it's a little intimidating. And they say, well, maybe I won't do it. But there are ways to do it and not have to have all of that expense.
Well, I tell you one thing about drifting that a lot of people probably wouldn't think about. When you're trolling, you know, you're going through schools of fish. When you're drifting, you're going slower, and you're staying longer inside that school. So when you said you limited out, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
You might not get the quantity or the quality. You might be in, like, a small school, and they just might take what take what you give them.
Mm-hmm.
But you will get your fish. And let's face it, 90% of the people out there aren't looking for that 30-incher.
No.
They want that nice 15 to 22 that they can take home and eat. So, yeah, drifting is, anybody ever poo-poos somebody because they're drifting just isn't a walleye fisherman. They're just after trophy, that's all.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to talk more with Chuck Mason here because I'm looking at the Church Tackle Stern Planer, and wow, I look at it, it makes sense. So we're going to talk a little bit about that here next on Wild Michigan. Back of a Ford truck tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and Alpine peaks, at the bottom of a real tall cold drink, chilling to some Skinner or some old hang.
This is Owen O'Hagan of ClareBirchley.ie inviting you to fish County Clare, Ireland. Now back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Ah, yes, Owen O'Hagan, my favorite Irish tenor. love Owen. ClareVirtually.ie, as he says. You can check him out and check out County Clare, Ireland, a beautiful, beautiful place, and seemingly a beautiful place to go wild trout fishing and also pike fishing. I mean, big, big pike fishing. And someday, Owen, as I know you listen, we will be there. Right now, though, talking about Lake Erie, other ways to fish Lake Erie, not just trolling with the planer boards. Let's keep it average Joe, average Jane fishing with Chuck Mason, because, look, we know that we can have that nice Mark Romanek book about, you know, how far out you put in your planer board, what size weight are you using, and that gives you the depth ratio. That is phenomenal for fishing the bay or for fishing Erie. But if you don't have those abilities, it's difficult. And this is where Chuck Mason's going to come in, you know, talking about bottom bouncing, drifting, things that, you know what, you, your 14, 15-foot aluminum boat and a tiller can do. So, Chuck, give us some clues on some of the weapons we use for these.
Well, let's start with the weapons. The weapon, okay, we talked about drifting. That's where most of the bottom bouncers come in.
Mm-hmm.
With the weapon, you're talking about a short 18 to 20-inch crawler harness with a single hook. And again, the smaller blade, because you're actually going to be just putting a snippet of worm on, depending on the size, whether it's a number 3 or number 4 spinner blade, Colorado's usually. Indiana's are okay. But this is largely a Lake Erie thing, and it started with some of the older charter captains out of Toledo and Bulls Harbor up here in Michigan, so they really kind of like fine-tuned it a little bit. And the average Joe can make about 20 of these in a night and still have time to catch the 10 o'clock news. All you need is a single number 4 hook. I like the little Matsu sickle hooks. They got a unique bend to them. They really hook the fish. And then you got your beads, 15 to 20-pound test monofilament. It doesn't have to be fluorocarbon. If you think you need it, you go ahead and spend the money and get it. And then you make a loop, a double loop knot with a bead inside of it. And make the loop knot maybe an inch and a half long. And then you take a 3/8, a half, a 5/8, or in some cases, we'll use a 3/4-ounce egg sinker. And you slide that loop up through the egg sinker with the bead on the bottom. And that bead will protect the knot from that weight sliding up and down. And then you just snap it to a good quality snap and swivel on your spinning rod or your bait caster rod. I use both of them. I enjoy using both. I've got a 6'6 Synchroy Avid medium light, beautiful drifting rod. And then I've got my 7-foot medium bait caster that's a Premier. And I'll put braid or mono on it. It really doesn't matter when it comes to this. And you can employ this three different ways. One, you can just let it drop down to the bottom and drag it on the bottom. And usually that lightweight blade will stay off the bottom a little bit, so you're not getting all kinds of zebra mussels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the bottom covered. And then the other way to do it is go ahead and cast it out. And then you literally think of the old 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. My fish finder's telling me the fish are 14 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
And you count out the 14,000. And then you start your retrieve. So now you're targeting all the fish in anywhere in the water column. And the other way to do it is go ahead and cast it out to the side of the boat. Let it go down to the bottom, and as the boat progresses, and you're still drifting. You don't need to use the motor.
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned earlier, a good drift sock, like depending on the size of the boat, there's all kinds of different sizes. And Big Papa here in Michigan, sport fishing, has a wide variety of those. But you go ahead and let it sink, and then as the boat progresses, what that bait will do is it'll fan out toward the back of the boat. So now you're not just covering up and down of the water column, or you're not just down on the bottom of the water column. You're covering 50 degrees from the side of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in the day when I used to do this a lot, we'd be out there, and like I said, it's only a number 4 hook, which for most walleye guys, at least in Michigan, not Wisconsin or Minnesota, thinking that's pretty small. But I'm out there with my bait caster, and I'm standing on the deck of the boat, and I'm reaching back just like these bass guys on TV are doing. And I got all these guys trolling, going, what the devil is he doing? You know, it was, you know, big flamboyant hook sets that they do.
Right.
And well, it's just like drifting. If you get into a school or a nice little pot of walleye, you can stay on them longer and limit out in 30 minutes. You know, it's not unusual.
Not a bad way to go. Now, real quickly, we got just a couple minutes left in the segment, Chuck. Chuck okay. Mason's our good friend. Talk about this stern planer, because I'm looking at it going, really? How easy as this, and yet we're not thinking about it. You have limited space, you have limited area, and limited equipment off the back of the boat, and you're running a planer board, and you're running your lure at the depth you need.
Right. When I first started out, when I was a little kid, my father didn't have the fancy boat. We literally had the 14-foot aluminum craft with the 20-horse Merc on the back. Then a couple of years later, we got the little fish finder for a couple hundred dollars, And we all ran Hottentots off the back of the boat and trolled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't know what the depth was. So now, like you said, Mark Romanek's got the precision trolling guide, and the guys over at Big Bite, or the next Big Bite, have got all the stuff available on their website. And you let that cone out, you let out your line, get to the depth you want, and then you clip on the TX 007 stern planer from Church Tackle, and you let it back 20, 30 yards behind the boat, far enough away from any engine noise. Of course, if you got an electric motor, you don't even have to put it that far back. But the unique thing about the stern planer is you're actually targeting those fish that you're seeing on your fish finder. If that fish is 18 feet down and 23 feet of water, you let out your line so that lure is going to hit down there. And it could be a crawler harness, it could be a crank, it could be the venerable Hottentot, or wiggle wart for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're hitting those fish that you're actually seeing versus somebody who might have a bigger boat with the side imaging and such and such.
All right, real quickly, Chuck, how can we find you on the internet? And I know you post on our Wild Michigan page, which we do appreciate, on Facebook. But where can we find you? We got to get out of this segment here.
Okay, blogsmonroe.com/fishing or walleye. I don't even know my Facebook thing, but you'll find me on Wild Michigan.
Find Chuck on Wild Michigan. blogsmonroe.com/fishing. You'll find Chuck Mason, and he'll be joining us here as he does each and every few weeks or so. We'll have Chuck on. I'll get a text, especially when it's been too long. He's good at reminding me. And Chuck, be careful with the razor next time.
All right, sir. Take care.
That's all I'm saying. Chuck Mason joining us here. This is Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Find all of our links to all of our fun stuff here on the Michigan Talk Network.